Welcome to Unleash Muslim Podcast. I am your host, Alia, the Love Coach. Together, we'll be exploring metaphysical and energetical aspects of spirituality and also tie in the psychological and physical aspects. I invite you to join me with curiosity. I would be sharing a lot of why we do what we do. Let's expand together and embrace our uniqueness and our unity. Welcome, friends, to episode 8. In today's episode, we will explore the concept, I am God, that you might have heard from spiritual teachers, and we'll be talking about what is it that helps a human reach that status of creator. Is it true? If it is true, how can you do it? So get ready for a consciousness stretch here. I am so excited to have this conversation because this is something that I got exposed to, I believe, in 2017, 2018, through Wayne Dyer. I was listening to one of his lectures and he was talking about the concept, I am God, and how embodying that concept has helped him. And literally in that moment, it just went above my head. I have no idea what it even means. I am God. I come from a Muslim background, a practicing Muslim, and that seems like, you know, blasphemy. That seems like everything going against the religion. That seems like, so the word is shirk. So shirk means, it's an Arabic word, which means that you are putting someone else as a God next to God. So that is like the highest form of sin that you can do. So I stayed away from that concept. But it wasn't until 2021, I was studying with my current mentor, David Nagel, and he started recommending these books. They were, I will say, Christianity mysticism. And one of them that, you know, really stands out to me is, now the name is skipping me, the author name is skipping me, but the book is called, God Works Through Faith, God Works Through You. And then there was another one called Working with the Law. And as I started really working through those books, understanding these concepts, these spiritual truths, it was all taking towards I am God. And my mind was having a very hard time with it. How do I understand it? So I kept learning more. And a day came, I believe it was some point in 2022, I knew it. I was like, I get it. And it has taken me some time to get to a place where I can share it with someone. So if I'm sharing it with you all today, I am definitely at a place where I feel fully embodied in that concept. Of course, not 100%, still learning, still growing, but at least to a point where I can help you understand that, where I can bring you out of that place of confusion and doubt. Because sometimes we label these concepts as like, you know, oh, this is just new age stuff. This is blasphemy. And, you know, this is going to take you out of a religion completely. And you should stay away from stuff like this. What all that is fear. When we are in fear, when a human is in fear, there's no growth. We can study something that makes us so uncomfortable with the faith that I'll be protected, that the light is going to be with me, that the light will show me that this is not for me right now. Or the light would show me that, you know, this is not what I'm supposed to do right now. So when we move through our life with that kind of faith, with that kind of trust in the light, that is when we can truly study things that make us uncomfortable. But if we keep going on the other side of it, we find liberation. That is a personal story I went through. In the beginning, even when I was learning pranic healing, I was learning energy healing, I had no idea, is it magic? Is it science? What is it? But I kept going where everybody told me you need to stop, I kept going and I discovered my unlimited potential, your unlimited potential. So if this is something makes you uncomfortable, I invite you to stay for next whatever minutes we'll be here. And maybe today, like, you know, you'll be mind blown. Maybe your concept of life will completely change. So that is my invitation to you. So let's dig in. What does it really mean when someone say, I am God? First of all, they are not literally using it. And of course, we are not going to understand if we are already in the study of it. For example, when a doctor says, hey, we're going to do the surgery and, you know, you're going to be healed. You're going to have a brand new heart after we are done with this surgery. The doctor already knows that he or she is not going to heal you. Your body has its own ability to heal itself. They're just setting the stage for it to do its magic. They're just going to remove whatever blockage is there so the body, like, you know, can heal itself. They're going to stitch and they know body's going to heal itself. Every doctor knows they are not healing you. They are just being the channel. They are just being the middle person for that healing to occur. So the same way, when a person is saying, I am God, that person, no, it does not literally mean that they can, you know, take a wand and they will say rain and it's going to start raining. They'll say you die and you're going to die. It's a level of consciousness. It's a way of thinking. So I want you to first really pay attention to when we talk about these spiritual truths, we are not going to take them in a literal physical sense, even though our mind wants to do that, because that is what our mind does. It wants to make everything physical, but because it belongs to the physical dimension. Mind does not exist, like a brain does not exist in the non-physical world. Your soul does not have a brain, your body has a brain. So this is a level of consciousness we are talking about. And the level of consciousness that we are talking about is that you have the potential within you to do things, not at 100% level, but at a similar level as God. You have the potential within you. You have the seed within you. But that seed is not going to water itself and grow and become a tree. You have to activate it. So that is the fine print. You have to activate it. If you don't activate it, you are going to create the worst kind of life for you. But if you activate it, you can create the most beautiful life for you. We are creating at all time. Even when you say, I am doing nothing, you're still doing something because you're such a expansive being. You are way bigger than your body. In truth, who you are cannot be put in any form or shape or a box, let alone 5 to 7 feet tall body or a 4 to 5, 7 feet tall body. Whatever your height range is, whatever your weight is, that is not what our essence is. So we are talking about when a person say, I am God, they have truly embodied that consciousness. They are talking about the potential that is within them. And it is going to take them a whole lifetime to keep working on activating that potential. Because it's something that does not come with a user manual. You keep learning, you keep learning, you learn from different teachers, you learn from different school of thoughts, you keep implementing, you keep working at it every single day. Because when it comes to consciousness, every day when you wake up, you are a blank page. You are at zero. You get to create the day all by yourself. You cannot say, oh, yesterday I felt so positive. I was so productive. So today I'm going to be just as much. No, you might wake up and your mind will be just somewhere else in total darkness. And then you will switch it. So we are working on the consciousness every single day. There's no day when we are not working on it. So people who have achieved the understanding of this concept, I am God, they know it's everyday work. It's everyday work. And those are the people who are truly humble because they realize the work it takes to connect with your potential and also keep moving forward with it too. Another tiny concept I want to share over here, just to elaborate a little, that God created the universe. But the creation is not complete. We are the minions of God. We are continuing the creation. We are continuing that work. What if you just, like, you know, if this is too much for you, just look at past 20 years of your life. Look at how much world has changed. Who created that? Humans did. Where did human get that, those ideas? They got it from the universe. From God. That's where the inspiration came from. And we just carried it on. We are carrying on what is not done yet. One of the, I believe it was one of the quote from Jim Rohn from his very last speech, that keep creating, there's so much to create. And that is what we are talking about. You cannot really create consciously unless you understand this concept. You'll be just creating unconsciously. And when we create unconsciously, we create chaos. Because now the collective consciousness is running us. And in collective consciousness, at any given time, there's war happening in some part of the world. There's crime happening in some part of the world. People are dying of hunger in some part of the world. At any given time, some part of the world would be on a very lower vibration. If you don't understand the internal mechanism within you and how to step into the consciousness of I am God, I am creator, I have that ability, that responsibility, that capability within me. If you don't step into that, you would be creating life from collective consciousness. And that is majority of the population. I'll say 99% create from collective consciousness. So now let's look into what does even mean God? What does it even mean when I say I'm God? So God equal pure light. Yes, God has created light and darkness, you know, moon and sun. He has created everything. But himself, God is pure light. But when it comes to me and you, we are light plus darkness because we are playing in the field of life. We have an opponent force within us. We are playing against somebody. We are trying to win from somebody, and that winning is within. When the thought says you're a loser, I say, no, I can do it. If there's no thought saying you're a loser, I'm never going to push towards becoming more. So we are blessed with light plus darkness. That is a blessing, my friend. That's not something I want to ever get rid of or I can ever get rid of. That is a blessing of being in a physical body. You get two parts of you, the light and the dark. And now would the light win? If the light is winning within you because you're so presence, you're so consciousness, you become like God. You become like pure guide, light. It's very possible that this hour you are light and the next hour you're pure darkness. We have that capability. So I need to stay present every single moment. So I stay like God. That is when I can say, I am God. I am light. It's already within me, but I need to plug into it. If I'm plugged into darkness, then I am still God, but I'm creating darkness. I am saying bad things about people. I am holding grudges. I am angry with everybody. I'm pretending to be somebody I'm not. That's all darkness. And we all have experienced those moments in our life. Even in that moment, we were God. We were creating, but we were creating darkness. We were not like the light in that time. So whenever I am not like the light, it acts against me. So the next hour, I need to even up my light. I need to even be more conscious, more aware that I am like the light. Some of my mentors, they explain it this way. They say that in this existence, there's only two beings that exist, you and God. Everybody else, everything else is just an illusion. The very first day I heard that concept, my mind literally was short-circuiting. I felt like, you know, there's just shocks going on within. Because it was too big of a concept for my physical brain to accept. I've been studying. I've been practicing. And now I can say, I kind of get it. I kind of get it because I've been playing with it. And in that moment, what I am understanding that I am God, but I need to be aware of it. This is a place where there could be no doubt. Doubt is darkness. Trust is light. Faith is light. Fear is darkness. And you might say, like, but Alia, aren't you supposed to be afraid of God? No, you don't have to be afraid of God. You can trust that He will always provide you with guidance. You can trust that you would always find Him. You can trust that you will always do what is right for you in that moment. It is very possible to nurture a consciousness where there's no doubt and no fear, but it involves active participation from you. Now let's talk about what really makes a human God or act like God or pure light. And I'm going to share something in terms of a very physical anatomical thing that we have within us that most of us, we don't even realize. So you might know that there are 11 major chakras depending on what school you're studying with. So chakras are energy center. Think of them as a traffic circle. So it's a traffic circle and, you know, energy coming from here, going there, and it's, you know, it's channels of energy. There are five chakras above your head. Like right above our head, there's like, you know, the 11th, and then there are five more above it. And each one of them, if you activate it, it's in every human. If you activate it, and of course, activating them takes a lot of work. That's when you are grown beyond your ego. That's when your ego doesn't even control you. You're fully plugged into light. I'm talking about the level of shamans, monks, swamis, saints. I'm talking about a very high level. I'm not talking about prophets because prophets naturally are a very elated higher souls. They're much more complete than me and you. So I'm not going to talk about it because that is a very different topic. I'm talking about people who are born here and they just felt the desire to work on themselves and they did the work. They spent decades working on themselves. And these people could be one of your neighbor. It's not just like, you know, people who have shut themselves off from the world and they're just focusing on themselves. It could be somebody in your neighborhood. We have no idea how much work people are doing on themselves. So when we transform these five above chakras that, you know, whatever their names are or numbers are, if I can activate my 11th chakra, which is, like, you know, after we have worked on our physical chakras, that is the easiest one to activate. That's the closest one. My purpose will be revealed to me. I would know what my purpose is. But also, a teacher who has activated their 11th chakra, they can also see someone else's purpose. That is when they can see without seeing with their eyes. They just know without somebody telling it to them. It's that level of activation. And I am sure we all know somebody like that. That person might be older, that person might be younger, but this is a very common place to be. But when we start to activate higher chakras, that is when a person can really start living beyond the limitation of the body. That is when a human can actually leave the body knowingly. If you look at the body would be dead, but the person is not dead. They just knowingly left the soul left, went somewhere else, came back, and then they're alive. It's very possible to do for a human. There are human who have done it. There are human who are doing it right now. But those are human who live way beyond ego. They are way beyond doubt. They are way beyond judgment, guilt, or all the beautiful things that us, I would say, average human live with. And the further you go up, you can get to a level where you can actually project your body to someone else. Like cell phone got... you know, cell phone just got invented, but these cell phones have existed long, long time ago. And I have studied a lot of books on this topic. Like, you know, I have studied it from many different sources, but the most recent one was when I was studying a biography of a yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. And he was talking about how he woke up and his teacher's body appeared in front of him, as if his teacher is standing right there and his teacher is telling, I'm going to arrive this time with this many students and get these things ready. And one of his other colleagues, you can say, at the similar level, was not very happy why the teacher appeared to him and not to this colleague. And I believe later on how it was explained, it really depends on the person who's receiving the message on their level of belief. Like if their level of belief is solid, where they are going to see something like that and they are not going to freak out or go completely towards their humanness and actually faint, that is what dictates if you are going to see something like this or not. So all this, I know sometimes when we hear stuff like that, we're like, oh my God, the person is using jinn, they are using magic. No, my friend, humans are so powerful. We are way more powerful than any other creation created. But if you don't know how powerful you are, you're going to live the rest of your life in fear, doubt, and worry. And you would have no idea what a powerful being, what a powerful body you are in, because then you don't even know how it works. If you never know that for your toaster to work, you actually have to plug in, or for your washer and dryer to work, you actually have to plug in, you'll be just saying like, you know, my washing machine doesn't work. I have to wash my clothes every single day with my hand and I have to dry them God knows what way. You'll be living a very difficult laundry life. But if you know all you have to do is just plug in, piece of cake, an hour or so, you get perfectly dry clothes. And that is how the mechanism that is set up within us too. And the higher we go, again, activating it, that is when humans get to a level of development or being one with the light. They can actually transform substance. You might have heard that way, way, way back in the past, there were people, they can take any substance and they can make gold out of it. That is the level. Again, they are not using any other beings to do that work for them. Humans are that powerful. But those are the humans who have fully connected with light. And it does take a lot of work to rise beyond the control of darkness. For example, even in my own personal life, in my personal relationships, in terms of who I needed to forgive, what I needed to do, this desire came from very deep within me that you're going to get to this level, this level, this level. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to my family. It didn't make sense to people close to me. Why I am putting myself through that. But I just knew I need to go beyond this. I need to get to a level where a human cannot take away my power. And it wasn't a piece of cake. It did require a lot of work. It did require working with a lot of mentors. I still am. I didn't stop. But once I started getting beyond that, what the world that started opening to me could only open to me when I have, you can say, ascended few levels of darkness. Or at least I can see, okay, this is darkness taking control of you, Alia. And I can make a choice in that moment. So if we truly want to get to that level where I can say, or you can say, I am God, we need to grow out of our darkness, or at least to a level where darkness doesn't control us. Another level that you can grow at, I believe I studied it with Dranvalo Melchizedek in his books, and that is, I believe it is still used by, I mean, there are some indigenous people in today's day and age who are developed to this level. So what that is, that let's say me and you are sitting and we're just chatting, and then we have a friend who wants to send us a message. A bubble, a very tiny bubble, will appear in front of us, and our friend would be actually talking to us. Like, they would be literally talking to us. Like, we could see them, we can see their voice, but the friend is not there physically. Again, it's a different form of, like, you know, projecting your body and your energy into a different time and space. And then when the message is delivered, the tiny bubble just disappears. Again, it has to do with activating your higher chakras, which most of us don't even study, because it's like, why do I want to do all of that? But there are some people who really want to connect with the light. They have such a deep desire. Last year, October, I was in a soul anatomy class, and the teacher said the highest growth you can have in a human body is not become one with your higher soul, but become one with a divine spark. Why don't you make that goal? Instead of making the goal of, like, I'm going to have this many houses, this much money in my business, or this much this, that, make that your goal. And I did. And the way this past year has shifted, and the kind of knowledge that has come in my life, it could have happened if I didn't set that goal. I set the intention that, you know, God, I want that. Now that information is coming to me, again, it's up to me if I want to learn it. It's up to you if you want to grow and expand to the level where you can say, I am God, I understand that. Because that understanding in itself is a blessing. So many of us, we are living as a victim. We are living as a victim to fate, while fate is literally sitting on the palm of your own hand. But will you claim it? Will you question enough to understand it? And will you act on it? Or are you just going to, like, you know, leave the world like many people have left, disappointed, in regrets, feeling sad for themselves, feeling pity for themselves? Or are you actually going to activate the unlimited potential of a creator within you? Would you dare to be like the light? So now, we were talking about, like, you know, high priests and monks and shamans and swamis. What can you and me do? So now this part is for common people, average people like you and me. So one of the very powerful thing that we have is the thought, the ability to think on demand. Yes, our mind has gazillion thoughts going through our head at any given time. But we do have the ability to consciously think. For example, right now, think about an apple. Now you're thinking about an apple, an image pops up in your mind. Our thought and image go hand in hand. When you see something, you can create it. So whatever thought you have, you can actually create it. But there's something really cool. At a metaphysical level, I want to explain to you about our mind and our ability to think. Whenever we are thinking something, now I just want to make sure I am explaining it in a way where I don't confuse you guys. Okay, first of all, think of your head and imagine there is like a giant jelly bubble around your head. And now let's say you're thinking about love. Let's say that is pink dye. As you're thinking about love, there's pink dye coming out of your head and going into this jelly, right? Now the jelly is becoming pink. Now imagine you're thinking about nature. You're thinking about health, and that is green. And the green color is coming out and it's filling up the jelly. So you, as you are thinking, you're influencing the color of the jelly that is around your head. Now, the same way, when you think, you actually exist in God's mind. Whatever you're thinking in God's mind. And the thing about God's mind is, whatever is thought in it comes true. There's no jokes being played in God's mind. It's not like, I wish this happened. And then it's like, oh no, never mind, scratch that. No, that'd be too much time. No, whatever goes, it goes. There's no taking back. Yes, there is a time frame depending on the feeling that was injected and the certainty that was injected in that thought that it might come true right away, or there might be a gestational period, because there one of the law is law of gestation. It does take that long of a time. But whatever you're thinking, whatever you're visualizing in God's mind. God is not going to come down and say, hey, Alia, by the way, don't think this image. It's not good for you. I might be really angry with somebody. I might be feeling afraid that my mind is going in worst case scenario. I'm not stopping that thought. I'm not erasing that image. I'm just sitting there enjoying my misery. And eventually I even start crying because now I'm like, oh my God, this would happen, that would happen. And then I'm crying already. I am creating all of that in God's mind. We have free will, my friend. No one is going to come and say, hey, by the way, that is not good for you. So don't do that. Have you ever experienced where you thought something, you worried about something, and it actually came true? I know a lot of us, we use this trick like, if I'll think about the worst case scenario, then it won't happen. But most of the time, we were thinking about the worst case scenario with this thought that it won't happen. So there was already doubt, so it didn't happen. But when we are thinking of something with fear, fear is faith in the negative. With true fear, it is coming true because you are putting it in God's mind. Your mind is one with God's mind. Whatever you think is being thought in God's mind. Whatever you imagine is being imagining in God's mind. And please don't take my word for it. Experiment. Think something. Imagine something and watch it come true. We all have experienced that. We all have been living in this human experience for a few decades. We all have experienced it. We are just not aware of it. Now, the only catch for this way of existing is there cannot be any doubt. For example, if I want my body to look a certain way and I'm thinking about it and I'm grateful about it, I am certain about it, I can see an image of me with that kind of body. I am creating it right there and then. But if there is a tiniest of doubt, how am I going to make it happen? How would it come true? What kind of diet I'll have to do? What kind of exercise I'll have to do? That those are all doubts. If any of the doubt comes in, it doesn't happen. But when I am afraid, what if I get sick? That is fear. There's no doubt that does come true. So it's all about how certain, how much in trust, how much in faith I am as I am thinking a thought and holding an image, because whatever I think, whatever I imagine, I am thinking in God's mind. There's no separation between me and God, but God has given me free will to choose a thought, to choose an image. But sometimes we feel like we are victim of our thoughts, we are victim of our images, and we're just like, I can't control them. I can't. No, my friend, you can. You have the ability to control what you think or what you imagine. But most of us, we are too occupied, too distracted to claim that ability. To say, hey, I can actually do it. So I'll give you an example. For example, if you come home and you just did grocery shopping and then you leave everything on the kitchen counter and then you go again, you buy stuff, you leave it on the kitchen counter, you go again, you buy stuff, you leave on the kitchen counter. How many days before your kitchen would be just a huge mess and you won't even be able to get through it or do anything? Now, in that moment, are you going to say, okay, the problem is that I am buying more stuff before putting away the stuff that I already bought? And the second, I'm not even thinking that, do I need it or do I not need it? Like, there's no check and balance system going on. That is one way to look at it. If you go that way, you can actually solve your problem. The second thing you can say, my kitchen is too small. And then you get a bigger kitchen and the same thing happened. Then you say, my kitchen is too small. Most of us, that is what we are doing. We're just complaining about our kitchen being small. What we really need to do is exercise our free will. And this applies to me too. It's not just for you. I'm saying this to myself too. So when we think, when we hold an image, we do have a choice. We are not victim of our thoughts and images. I cannot say that, you know, social media is bad, because every time I go, I see these bad images or like, you know, I have these bad thoughts. Stop going. Delete the app. Find another way of connecting with the world. Connecting with your loved ones. We all have a choice. So one of the things I really want you to take away with you is remember, whatever you're thinking, whatever you are imagining, you're thinking and imagining in God's mind. And that is how you are God. You are the creator of your life. You are the light. But if you don't take responsibility for it, then everything is going to keep happening. It just won't be according to what you desire. Then you would say, how could I create this for myself? How could I be this horrible with myself? And that is a problem for people who are entering in this level of consciousness. That is the first response they have. But once you've been studying these spiritual truths for a while, you're like, okay, I get it. I get it. Nothing is permanent. I get to change. If right now my life is miserable, I know I can change it within few days, few months, and few weeks. Because that is when you understand your own power. And my friend, you are way powerful than you can ever imagine that you are. And you are God, manifestation of God in this physical form. Don't take that lightly. Take on that honor, take on that responsibility, and create like light. Create the most amazing, magnificent things in your life and for every human being. We all have treasures within us that other human need. Think about the person who created the GPS. That was light. The person, like, you know, or the company or whoever did it, they really dug deep into their own light and they created a solution. What solution are you going to create for humanity when you become the light? Think about that. None of us is useless. None of us is here just because we thought, oh, it would be fun to go to Earth. No. Each and every one of us came here for a reason, and that reason is to share our light. But if I'm not even connected with my light, how can I share it? If you're not connected with your light, how can you share it? So let's make a promise with ourselves today that from today onward, we are going to connect with more of our light in each and every moment. And we are going to step into the consciousness where we can say, I am God. I am the light. I am going to do my best every single day to become like the light. So that is all for today, my friends. And I hope you have found this enlightening, and share it with anyone else you think who can benefit from it. I'm sending you so much love. I'll talk to you next Monday. Love you.